What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all-new installment of the horror anthology, now streaming only on Prime Video. The series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with a city on edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorindi returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Dawn Reeve, who has been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken, to find the South Side Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, The Scare features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, The Scare, on Prime Video, now streaming.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The following program is rated TV-MA-LSV. It contains strong language, sexual situations, violence, and nudity. It is intended only for mature audiences.
This cow looks crazy.
Nobody could tell what I look like right now unless you are on our Patreon. Which, what is our Patreon, Danielle?
It is Talk Scary to Me Patreon. I don't know, like the HTTP or how, what is that? I don't even know what that means. I don't know.
HTTP. Backslash. Oh God.
Hi, Scout.
Hi, babe.
So you got your Burning Man glasses on.
I do have my Burning Man glasses on. I got these on Amazon.
You don't say.
What a fucking crazy find. Like, are you kidding me?
I'm so not surprised you found those glasses. What do you type in on Amazon? Like Burning Man outfits?
Yeah.
And just everything comes out.
And then I get like tired of that. So then I go like rave outfits, or I go glittery outfits, or.
Did you see the same shit?
I see the same shit. Tulle outfits. I got these really cute like vintage bloomers, like these white bloomers that I'm going to wear. And then I got a top that I'm going to decorate. And I'm probably going to either do like animal heads on them or something.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I'm going to make it look cool.
Who is going with you? Are you still going by yourself?
No, Tom's going with me.
Oh, he is. Okay, good. I thought he wasn't going. What changed? He was supposed to be somewhere or?
No, it's just with like his work, you know, his desk job. He was like, well, if we're planning on, you know, taking a honeymoon, which we pretty much figured out they were probably not going to do a honeymoon because we're going to be buying a home.
Yes.
So I was like, well, you might as well just come to Burning Man then, since we've decided.
Yeah. You know, you've had like years of a honeymoon.
Yeah. I mean, even though we might do something small, I don't know. Have you ever done this? Has anyone ever done this? Just gone to the airport and just like, pick like the first four flights that we're leaving and just decide which one you want to go to.
What if it's like, I'm not even going to say what city is because I don't want to diss anybody, but what if it's somewhere that you're like, I've really gone all the time.
But that's the fun of it. So when we were flying the other day, I was like, well, let's just look at what was leaving from San Francisco, which is where most of the people are going to be flying in from. I was like, let's just look what's flying from San Francisco right now. It was London, Switzerland, and I think it was Texas and Vegas.
Oh,
I was
God.
Like, well, We're
going to Switzerland.
Yeah. Oh, no, sorry. It wasn't Switzerland. It was Italy. I was let's go.
To Italy.
Yeah. I was like, I think that would be fun to do, like, for like a weekend, like, you know, trip, just like choose something and go. I think they have, if you guys are ever looking for something to spice up your relationship, there is a company out there that does this sort of thing. You give them like your budget, and they create an entire itinerary for you, and then they surprise you. They tell you what to pack, and then you go to the airport, and then they surprise you with a package on where you're going.
So it's basically a surprise travel agent.
Yes.
Got it. Because nobody uses travel agents anymore. So maybe that's like the idea of like what a travel agent looks like in the year 2023.
I think it's a brilliant idea. I think people, like, the more people think outside the box, especially with, like, you know, like, everybody gets bored, you know?
But and, let me like, tell you something. I would not say, okay, I've got $5,000 to go away somewhere. Do whatever you want. I'll go anywhere. I would not be comfortable with that, with just giving someone money and saying, book my trip.
This is where you and me are different. This is where... By the way, I just lowered my glasses down.
But I would be a really good planner if I was a travel agent planning something for someone. I could totally do it. See, I just am not too much of a control freak to give someone any amount of money and not be in control of it, which is why I like gambling.
Yeah, I don't think that I'm a control freak, but it sounded like from my bachelorette party, y'all were like, oh my gosh, he has such a schedule. I'm like, well, that was just so... We have everything like organized.
I can't imagine you not being grumpy if you were on your honeymoon and somebody planned something that you guys did not like. I would be grumpy.
Would I be grumpy? Would I be grumpy? No, I just wouldn't do it.
Oh, what if it already cost you $1,500 a person?
Oh, then maybe. I mean, honestly, I'm like down to like try new things. I think I'd be okay. I think so. Where did you guys go on your honeymoon?
We stayed in Hawaii. We just went to a different island.
Oh, okay.
We just flew over to Kauai once everybody left, and we stayed in Kauai for like 3 days by ourselves just to kind of like decompress.
Yeah.
And we just sat and talked shit about everybody that misbehaved at our wedding and how fucked up this one was or that one was or what drama happened here or who we're going to have to call for that there or how this didn't go right or how that went better than expected, you know.
Oh, man.
We basically spent 3 days just gossiping about our own wedding until we got tired of it and then we came home.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah, we, speaking of, I had the bridal shower.
Yes,
I was in Louisville. It was great. It was really cool. His mom's sisters planned it, and there's just so much family. There's so much family that I hadn't met. Luckily, Tess came down, so I felt like I had her. And then a few of other friends came in as well. It was a lot of fun. Like, you know, Tom's family is super sweet, you know, and they're pretty much like, I haven't really, I mean, I guess that is what family does. That's what family does. They come in together, they support one another, and they make it like a big thing. I just like,
isn't that shocking?
Yeah.
There's like regular people, like real families out there.
Yeah.
Isn't that fucked up?
It's so weird. It's so crazy. But like, that's exactly how I want to be, like with my kids and stuff. Yeah. And like, I want to have like, you know, birthdays are huge and bridal showers are big. I mean, they play at so every Christmas they play this game where everybody gets a gift and then someone reads a poem or something and they, in the poem, it says right or left. And so you're just passing it back and forth, right or left, right or left, right or left. And then by the time the game's done, you end up with what you have, what you are. Yeah. And so we did that. Which was really, really fun. And then we did gifts, which I was kind of shocked about.
What kind of, like, bridal shower gifts?
Yeah, so, I mean, the majority...
Or engagement gifts.
Engagement, bridal, I guess. But, I mean, everybody was asking what we wanted. And since we're not from there, we just didn't want to have to carry anything back. So we're like, money. Like, we just want money. That's it, you know, to cover stuff. So that's pretty, the majority of, like, what people gave us was, like, Visa cards. And, like, you know, like, you open up a card and there's, like, $100. Like, grandma and grandpa, you know?
Yeah.
But there was, like, some really cute gifts. And Tom teared up a little bit because his mom, you know, did the whole give me something old, give me something new kind of thing. And it was really sweet. And it's really nice to know that, you know, his family is so supportive and so cool and laxed, and that, you know, when we do have a baby, it'll have like a big family. You know?
Isn't that nice?
Yeah. There's so many fucking kids. and they all look alike. Everybody looks alike. All the brothers look alike. All the sisters look alike. Like, everybody looks alike. So I cannot get drilled on the names just yet, because there's no fucking way that I know what any of their names are.
Oh, you'll get drilled, all right. You'll get drilled.
Well, not that drill. Hopefully none of them listen.
They're all listening. Listening. Wouldn't you?
Yeah, but I'm a nosy ass bitch.
Oh, well, most people are.
You nosy ass bitches.
Before I even met David's family, they had done their research. His mom had like watched all of my, well, his mom's a fucking psychopath, but had watched like all of my, any like video on YouTube where anybody ever came and interviewed me from at like a show or anything. Like, she literally knew every single thing about me before she'd ever even met me.
Aww, that's amazing.
And then
amazing.
Would find other things. I don't know if that's so amazing. I think that's a little fucking creepy.
No, I would do the same thing. I think Tom's dad and mom have like kind of watched stuff of mine.
But like at some point they have to like stop watching like your YouTube stuff or stop watching like video compilations that fans make of you from
also,
your movies.
I'm also positive that David never dated another fucking actress. So
no,
I'm sure this was like so new to her. She's probably like, wait, what? This,
yeah, you know, I guess
it's,
so.
It's, I mean, it's not a normal thing. And I always have to remind myself like, oh, what we do is not like a normal job that a lot of people have. So obviously to
it's
someone
interesting
that,
for some
yeah
people,
it's interesting, you know, or they just didn't know a lot about it, or they just didn't, you know, go, oh, this is a person.
Right.
Which is an actor on TV.
Is that because we're on person. Like a TV, yet we're in someone's house, so it's not like I'd be super interested if someone is like, I know when I meet people that are detectives or that are police officers or that are wardens at a jail or whatever.
Well,
like, I want to know
our,
the details.
That's because we do this job for a living. We could care fucking less about actors and directors.
Yeah, I know. I hate having those conversations.
I want to know about the guy that digs the grave holes in the cemetery.
Yes, me too.
More into that sort of stuff.
And
you know?
They think what we do is cool. No, what they do is way cooler than what
we
do.
I don't
think what we do is cool at all. I mean, I guess it's interesting, but I feel like it's not like there's no surprises. Like there's no like, I don't get excited anymore. Like I do to a certain extent, you know, depending, but it's probably more nerves. I mean, I guess I do get excited and get jittery, but I don't know. It's just a different vibe, I guess.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I just had a pitch meeting with a cool studio-esque about directing, and we were literally talking about this. I was like, I feel like I can do acting in my sleep.
Yeah.
So I think that sort of like, you know, hunger or like excitement for it.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's not the same, you know, like for whatever we, all of us do, like, you know, but I feel like with directing, I have that, like that spark because I haven't done it. Yeah. It's
and
new.
You're in control, and there's things that you'll learn throughout the way,
yes.
You know, and you'll find the things when you're directing that you didn't realize you like to be a part of.
Exactly.
Like, I loved sitting in on the editing. I loved sitting in on doing the score, like that kind of stuff, the ambient music, like things, just setting the tone and doing, you know, color correction, like all of that stuff makes a difference. So I think that hunger to be educated about something other than what you're so used to is the drive still.
Yes. By the way, I heard from our writer and our script is almost ready.
Ooh, fantastic.
Everybody freak out. My God, I'm so fucking stoked. I'm so
excited.
But
what are we going to do? How is anyone going to work during the strike and stuff? I mean, hopefully we'll be done
January.
With it before we do it. Yeah.
Come January.
Yeah, hopefully.
Come January, we will be fine.
I feel like
also we can get a lot of other things into play so that when the new year comes, we're like, all right, we have this person, this person, this person, this person. Great.
Yeah.
Now we just need to fill in these little two things and then we'll be fine.
And then we're good.
I think it'll be good.
Have I talked to you? Have we talked since I went and did the New York movie?
Well, we can't talk about...
Well, we can talk about stuff that has that agreement.
See,
in place.
As I talk about directing.
Yeah.
No, we can't.
Yeah, we can. You can talk about the movies that we have been given the green light to go have a different agreement in place, and that agreement is that they are agreeing to abide by the
New York rules. Movie did that.
Yes.
Okay.
No, yes, that's the only reason why I was able to work. I won't tell you the name in case I do get, I don't want to get anybody in trouble, but they had one of those agreements because I think I got a whole thing from SAG explaining.
Was this what I was supposed to do, that one?
Yes.
Oh, I'm so bummed out.
It wasn't a big enough part, I think, for you to, there wasn't as much fun in that character. You know what I mean? It just would have been like anybody could have. She did a great job. She was super hot. She did a great job. Like it was, you know. Anyway, Scout was supposed to be my wife, you guys, in a movie.
I was.
And she was ended up going to fucking Kentucky again to do another movie there. So there was conflict in scheduling. But yeah, I had to. I'll send you a picture. Maybe I'll text it to you right now so you see it. And then you'd be like, oh my God.
Oh, wait, you showed me. You remember when you like FaceTime me your fucked up face?
I was like, hot. When I was in prosthetics?
Yeah, and I was like, ooh, hot.
I don't remember shit. I was so fucking exhausted.
Oh,
my
God, did you remember? Yeah. I literally texted you, ooh, who's that hottie?
I've never been a rotting corpse before. Have you ever been a rotting corpse before?
I think so.
Yeah, you've been dead before? Dead makeup?
Yeah, I've been dead. I've been dead a few times.
I've been dead, but not like where they did anything to make me look dead. I just was like laying there with blood.
Oh, no.
You've had like makeup.
Even Bury the Bride, I was dead. I came out like all fucked up looking.
Did you do like the zombie weird walk and stuff? Like,
mm-hmm.
So why do people think that when you're dead, if you come back to life, that's the way you have to walk?
I don't know.
Like, who decided that?
Probably Shaun of the Dead.
Hey. Or is it like did George Romero, like, is that probably sort of like his creation, or is this coming from like OG horror movies back in, you know, I don't know, black and white film days sort of?
Well, I'm trying to think of why. I mean, my only thought process goes to like, you know, when you're older and you're trying to like wake up your bones because they've been like, you know, and you're like trying to move. So I would assume
you look old.
So you look.
So they automatically assume.
So you're trying to just like wake up your bones.
Like, I've never like done that before. Like I had to walk into a pool, right, and go underwater, and it was like I was trying to like do all kinds of like weird twitches and weird things that, you know, I'm like, oh, fuck, I don't know. I'm just going to do whatever you tell me to do. I don't know exactly like what it looks like on the other side. Like, does it look okay? Do I look like I'm seizing? Like what, you know, I just don't know.
If I love you so much.
Well, they're like, it looks good. It looks great. But I'm like, how do I don't know. You like want to do a good job, but you feel so stupid.
I know. And then
I had so much dialogue. Like
you did. When I read that, I was like, ooh, I'm glad I'm not doing that part.
Yeah. So I'm glad it wasn't, I was nervous. Like I just kept feeling like I was unprepared. Like I was as prepared as I was going to be. I knew all my dialogue. But then when I got there, I think because we were doing all of it in one day, like all of that dialogue was in one day. I think we were doing, I don't know, it was like 17 pages or something, or 22 pages, or it was like something crazy. I had to break it up into beats. Like I had to literally break that giant scene. It's just because I haven't done a movie where I'm just sitting talking.
Yeah.
You know, like that, all that
it's
character
so
is
tough to do that.
Dude, it's so also like I had all of the weight. I had all the exposition. So, you know, there was nothing that she was saying that would tip me off to what my next line would be. There's no flow of conversation. Like I'd bring up something and there's all this like hidden meaning behind the things that I would say. And, you know, there's a lot of different things. But so I think I felt a little bit like, okay, this is one beat. Then she twists. This is another beat. This is another beat. This is another beat. So can we do it in these sections? Because I want to hit them so specifically that if I try to do the whole thing, then I'm going to miss something that's really important because they have to be like different thought processes.
Good for you. I mean, because honestly, like some of these movies, these lower budget movies, I think they think like actors want to be challenged all the time. So when you go and do one of these projects that are a little bit like lower budget, they like want to give you so much words because they feel like that's what we want, which honestly, not
no,
really.
I don't. I know exactly. I'm like, just I'm cool with like one line. Like, I just want to like play and be here.
Yeah.
But, I mean, so I think that was the most that I've had to do in a long time on something. And, you know, just so much. I felt like I was in acting class. Like there was a lot of cool things. And I did feel like, let me do it again. Or, oh, that didn't feel right. Or, oh, that was really interesting. Or, oh, my God, that worked. I didn't know that was going to work that way. So there was a lot of surprises and kind of little things in that, which I really liked. And the director was not, he teaches theater. So like he was not afraid to get in there and work with me and like try this and do that. And, you know, do all of that stuff, which a lot of directors are afraid and that I've worked with are afraid.
Did you like that at one point, at some point where you just saw like, oh my God, okay, I'm so exhausted.
He wasn't trying to earn his money. Like, you know, some directors are just trying to like, so he was more like, he would say stuff like, yeah, I really give it to her this time.
Okay.
You know, or relish in that a little bit more. Or, you know, like little things that I was like, ooh, or, you know, make this one more flip, a little more flippant with that. Or have fun. Like, you know, so his notes were like, okay, got it. So I didn't feel like, and I think I kind of needed that because she is a little bit all over the place. So, so I needed to sort of be able to do a bit at a time. But, you know, the writer is my co-star and the director. So, of course, my co-star knows.
Knows
all of the dialogue. So, like, of course, she doesn't have to learn anything. So it's not like, but she's an actress.
She wrote it. Like, I didn't know that.
They wrote it together. So they do everything together. So, I mean, I'm pretty sure she's been throughout the whole process. So, so of course she knows everything. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you're like, fuck, you're working with a writer and you're like, God damn, I know you, like, you know these lines inside and out and I'm still trying to figure out and, you know, and I had a lot of anxiety up until I knew like I was done, but we did all of my coverage the first day and then turned around and got another wide from the angle and all of her stuff.
On the next day.
Cause it was, we just didn't have time.
I can't do that. I hate that. I was just talking about this with the director. I was like, you cannot, for an actor, you cannot like start a scene and then go to lunch and then come back and do like cut. Like you can't, especially if it's an intense scene. That I don't know how you did that. Because when it's done, it's gone. It's out.
Well,
if I had
when
to think
they,
about
when they
all that
around,
dialogue,
yeah, when they
the,
turned
the
around,
wide?
I had to have my. Well, we did a wide, and then we did a bunch of wides from one direction, and then we came into like a two shot, and then a single on me, and then we were pretty much done. That was the first day, and then we turned around the next day and got. You know,
okay, so then you were able to have your stuff.
I was able to like already have had all my dialogue and everything done. And then I was able to have some of my pages, but I needed my old ass needs my glasses to read. So for the first time I had to wear my glasses in the movie because I couldn't see to read my size. And I'm supposed to be writing. And of course, like I have a binder in the movie. I wrote all my lines. You know, and I just had to kind of keep looking down. And then, like, I didn't want to write all of them because I thought, oh, if somebody sees the movie and they see me open the book and it's already filled with notes. Like, I look at that when I watch a movie, like, to see if the actor's written their dialogue and whatever they're holding.
Okay.
So don't want to be that person.
Like me.
Do you, too? Do you look to see if they're, when they're holding something, if there's anything in it?
No, I don't. But actually, I do. I do. Because I'm that fucking person that'll hide my lines all around set.
I do it too, all over. They just have to be bigger now because I can't see because I have my glasses.
I can't imagine not being able to see it. No fucking way. Well, good
so
thing
I wore the glass
wore
in the first time and on screen. But the bad thing is that I needed my reading glasses because my progressives they're still not right because I've got new ones, but I still can't see you clearly.
Really?
So I had to figure out like they couldn't my sides were white obviously and they were it was bouncing and you could see the dialogue in my reflection of my glasses, so certain angles I'm hoping that nobody sees that I have that stuff there, but the timing was quick and like you could tell like the sections that I was struggling with a little bit and then the other stuff that went really well, but I had one nice like chunk that flowed really well that just was like, okay, that's the take, that's it. And they had an editor on set, So he cut the whole thing before I even went back to Texas.
Isn't that amazing? That's what we need to do. That's what we need to do.
Know what we miss.
This is
then
like
we can
my,
get it.
This is like my eighth movie with that, and I love it. I absolutely love it.
It's
I
only think my it, second movie that I've done where there's it's Hatchet was the last
so
movie.
Great.
Hatchet 2 was the last movie that I did that had an editor on set.
When things are moving so fast and like you have no budget to come back and do reshoots, it's very, very vital, I feel
it's
like.
It's more cost effective to have somebody there assembling it, at least just a rough assembly, nothing creative, just to put together to make sure you've got all the shots you need to cover and that it looks good. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, then wait until to see how it looks in post and then try to fix shit.
I realized the woman that does my lashes, I adore her. Her hubby is an editor and he does like these massive movies and he knows BJ.
Everybody knows fucking BJ.
So when I came over, he was like, oh my God. He's like, you know, BJ. And I was like, what? I was like, that's so, what a small world. Everybody knows everybody. It's just such a small world in this industry, I feel
that's
like.
That's why you don't shit where you eat.
That is true. Be nice to everybody.
Because you never know. Because
it's going to come back and it will bite you in the ass.
Are you done with Kentucky now?
Oh, Danielle.
Oh, no. Ooh, are you going back?
Oh, Danielle.
Oh, no.
I love them. I absolutely love them. I need to introduce you to this producer. He is... I fucking have so much fun with these guys.
That's so good.
Yeah, they're great. And they do, like... a movie almost every month. Like they're constantly just like rolling. I don't know. Something might happen with them. So we shall see.
You're establishing relationships, like lifelong relationships
and friendships, man.
Yeah.
That's what like it's all like good people. And it was so really, it was so nice. Like the producer aunt, you know, I was writing the book like the entire time and, you know, I read him a few chapters and he's like super supportive of everything that I do. And one of the movies that I did with them, one of the other producers who had to like kind of like leave the company, she was actually the one who just set up this massive meeting that I had today. So it's just like,
it's all coming together.
Yeah. When you believe in like, when you like the people that you're working with and then you believe in them and like you create these relationships and you support one another on like your endeavors. I think that's what matters.
That's what it's supposed to be about.
That's why Burning Man is so fucking awesome. Because that's the feeling that I get while I'm there as I put my glasses on. I can't with these fucking glasses. These are awesome.
They're very cute. You kind of look like a stony cloud.
Hey, guys.
Or like a fucked up Easter bunny.
Fuck. Yeah, I do look like a fucked up Easter bunny. I love it. There's this thing. Do you like to put your glasses like over your head? Is there any ladies out there that like to do that?
Yes, now, it keeps my hair out of my face.
Now they have this fucking mechanism. Not glasses. It's a fucking headband that gives you the same effect. I was like, Jesus Christ.
Really?
Don't make anything. Yeah. Yeah. It's literally shaped like this, and you just put it on your head, and it gives it
the whole point of putting your glasses back on your head is to have it look and be like a headband. So if you're putting that on your head, what are you doing with your glasses?
Wearing them.
That would look so stupid.
It's so funny. Well, we got tons of questions. Did you see all that?
We do. Yes, I was just going to pull up some. I'll read one right now, and then I will have you read one. Again, like I think they fucking Sam's Club made my glasses wrong. I finally was able to get them, and they're just not. I'm not happy anyway, or maybe just my eyesight.
Do you want me to read them then?
No, I've got one.
Okay,
I'll read one, and then you can read one. So this came in on Friday from Brianna. She says, hopefully we were able to say her name. I don't think she said not to. Hi, Scout and Danielle. I love your podcast and I'm a huge fan of the Halloween franchise. I wanted some advice on how to be happy when you have had a lot of stuff go wrong during wedding planning. I'm getting married in September and my wedding has been anything but ordinary. My sisters were supposed to be in my wedding, bridesmaid and maid of honor. And 3 months before my wedding, they backed out for financial reasons and I was forced to find people to fill their spot. Ever since then, I've been feeling very stressed out and sad and feel like I cannot be happy about wedding planning. And I feel like it's making my fiance upset because it is supposed to be the happiest time of our lives. Also, I've also felt sad because traditionally you're thrown a bachelorette party and a bridal shower and no one has done this for me. And it has felt like no one has cared during the entire wedding planning process. Luckily, my fiance's family has stepped in and offered to throw us a joint shower. Any advice would be great. Love you guys. Thank you.
Oh,
dude,
man.
Weddings like bring out the fucking worst in people. Mm-hmm. I don't understand.
Especially family, man.
Why? Especially what is that? Family. What
I don't
the
know.
Fuck is that? I don't understand. It happens to every bride I know has some issue with their family during or before or after. It's like, I mean, David had people, you know, friends that bailed out, like his two of his groomsmen. One he didn't talk to forever. The other one bailed out on him, you know, and he even offered to like pay for them to come. So it was just too much like responsibility, whatever that means. I told you I threw his bachelor party for him. I mean, his friends threw it, but I was the one that planned stuff for them in Vegas while they were there because they didn't know. And then people just misbehave. I don't really know, except to know that you're not alone and that everybody has, like, I don't know if it's like envy or people can't get out of their way or
and honestly,
it brings
make sure
up
that,
stuff.
Yeah, make sure that you're like, I mean, this is just from me. Like, if someone does that to you, like, you really got to make sure that they know exactly how that made you feel. Like,
Don't hold back.
Don't hold your fucking emotions hostage because it's supposed to be like the most magical, you know, time of your life. It's like you really need to tell these people, especially your sisters, like, and your family, like how let down you feel from them. And thank God it sounds like your new family that you have are fucking awesome. And so allow them to do these amazing things for you. And I know it might be uncomfortable. Trust me. I get it. I just feel like I'm... you know, in the way or not in the way that I'm, that it shouldn't be their responsibility and because it's not my family, but you just can't let those kind of emotions like hold you back either. I'm glad that his family is throwing you guys something together and just continue to let them do things for you, especially if they see that your family is kind of,
do you think
you know,
people are just stupid? Like, is it like a dumb thing? Like, do you think that people don't realize what they're doing? Like, do you think that like your bridal party, like that they don't know that they're supposed to do this kind of stuff, or they think you don't want this kind of stuff? Or like, there's kind of like a tradition to when you're in a wedding party and people are getting married, like it doesn't really change from person to person unless the bride or groom is specific about not wanting certain things. But
I think
it's kind of expected.
People don't give a fuck anymore. I think people
don't care
about anything but themselves.
Ugh.
I think there's a fucking small percentage of people that actually give a fuck nowadays.
About other, yeah.
You know?
That's so sad. It's so sad.
And like, I mean, I just can't believe like her own family. I mean, I had something happen within my planning of my wedding, and I was let down by a family member, and it's hard. You know, it's hard to, like kind of brush that off and not, like, turn to yourself and, like, is it me? Is it my fault? Like, you know, but I think Danielle's right. I think just knowing that you're not alone and that this happens to everybody, and
dude,
it's their loss.
I got into a huge fight with my mom and my sister. And my best friend at the time, a huge fight at my welcome party. Like, I was literally, everybody had left the welcome party, and I was like in tears in David's bathroom at his parents' house while his mom and dad were trying to like regulate things. And my mom and my sister and I were screaming at each other, and I was crying. And David had to physically like go in and pick me up off of the floor and carry me out. And it was just like, this behavior is not acceptable. I don't know. But I still don't think that like even my family who does listen to this, I still don't think that they even realize what that does or what that did. You know, like those are the things that I remember.
Did you
from
ever
my
have
wedding.
A conversation with them? Like the advice I'm giving to this woman? Did you ever go like, hey, that fucking hurt. This is what it did to me. Like that shouldn't have happened.
I mean, I think that there was resentment on my family's part to me. This is just what I'm imagining in my head, by the way, because I did all the planning myself. Like, I did everything. I didn't, like, nobody helped me do
And you're
my
getting on
stuff.
Me on planning shit myself.
Well, that's because I didn't have anybody that was like, I think everybody was either too scared to take control from me and say, like, I'll do it. Like, I'm not scared to take control of stuff for you at your wedding because I know I'll fucking do it. And I know you're not going to be mad at me.
Is your mom, sister, are they afraid of you?
Of course.
Like, to come to you?
Of course.
Well, maybe that's something you need to work on.
No, I don't want them to not be afraid of me. My mom the other day, I was cutting her hair and she's like, why are you so mean to me? You talk so nice to everybody else, but you're so mean to me. What did I do? And I was like, honestly, mom, because you just drive me nuts. She goes, what does that mean? I go, that's really all that it is. You just drive me nuts. I can't even tell you what it is. I can't even, it's just a mother-daughter thing. You just drive me crazy sometimes. And well, I just can't help it.
Honest.
Oh, yeah. I literally, like, I, everything you do triggers me, mom. I don't know what to tell you. Like, I love you. It doesn't mean I don't love you. It doesn't
mean, like, past shit. That's like childhood stuff.
Of course. Of course.
I even think about it, like, whenever I go see my, like, whenever I talk to my dad or whatever, or, you know, because we don't ever, my family doesn't resolve anything. We just kind of let it just kind of.
That's most go families, until, I think.
Yeah, whatever. But I'm the queen of, like, I will hold on. There is something in there that I don't know that it's in there. So every time I talk, it comes up.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I talk to you a certain way. I don't mean to, but there's off. That's why with Tom and I in our relationship, I'm like, nuh-uh. I ain't gonna have this.
Yeah.
We are going to resolve shit.
Yes, yes.
I am not going to resent you. I am not going to, like, be that bitch to you because this and this and this. It's like, uh-uh. I want communication throughout our entire relationship about everything. And when we bring a child into it, I want them to be able to come to me and go, mom, you suck right now.
Yeah.
Because you did this.
Don't do it all day today, Jagger's like, you're mean. You wouldn't let me have that extra cookie. You're mean. You took me to the smoothie store and it wasn't the kind of strawberries I like. You're mean.
Oh, no.
I mean, I'm just like, oh, I'd kill you. but yes, my family is totally afraid. And again, but like you were saying, there's just something when things are unresolved. And it's not even stuff that I think a conversation or communication would resolve. You know, I think it's stuff that I've got to, you know, work on letting go of. Like my mom was funny. She was bitching about how my sister, she's okay. Maybe she won't talk to me again after this, but about like how my sister was like yells at my nephew, right? Like, you know, she, and she's like, oh, and she makes him do everything for her. And well, she's just having a bitch sesh, my mom. I usually am like, oh, I'm so sorry. That sucks. Or you know what? It's not my business. Or I don't really fucking care. I don't care. Like, I don't care what my sister's doing with her child. Like, she's an adult, it's her life, it's her family. I don't want the negativity around. I don't want every conversation to be bitching about somebody, complaining about something, because it gives me anxiety. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's like that thing of like, how do I fix this? Or me not understanding how, like, how explain it? Like, me not understanding how someone could want to bitch about other people so much. Like, I can't. It's like gossip almost to me. Like, I can't stand boss. I don't like gossiping.
Have
I don't
you
like
told
gossiping.
Her?
No, because she's like, you know, who would she talk to?
Mm.
And it's my sister, you know, it's like, so it's like they both want to come and talk to me about stuff. My sister will tell me, mom wants you to tell, you know, thinks that you don't love her or thinks that you don't want her to watch the kids anymore because you have a babysitter. And it's like, wait, no, I don't want her to watch the kids because she can't handle doing the stuff the kids want to do. And she can't handle the two of them.
I think that's annoying as fuck. And it sounds like you need to just have a sit down with your mom and sister and go, listen. But I think it
does. You know how many times I've done that kind of shit?
Well, then as soon as they start it, we had to talk. I don't want to hear it. Sorry.
Yeah.
Love you.
They'll still do it. My mom's like, well, what's the matter? What? I can't just fucking talk to you? I can't just tell you what's going on? And I said to her, I said something like, where do you think she gets it from?
Yeah.
My mom was like, what do you mean? I was
lead
like, how do you think... She yells at her son the way you yelled at my sister growing up. So, like, you know, like, it's just parents do, children do what, I don't know, most, unless you go the other direction, will copy what they were. But, you know, when parents, they try their best and, you know, listen, my kids are going to pick up my bad behaviors. My kid, you know, Carter said something the other day that sounded just like me. And I was like, oh my God.
Really?
He's reprimanding Jagger the way that I reprimand him. Like, oh, Jesus Christ, great, here we go. So, you know, they're little sponges.
Yeah.
So you've got to, it really starts from from back then. But anyway, yeah. So girlfriend, that was a really long answer to your question.
I don't know. I think, I mean, I still think you should have a conversation with your family and let them, and if you have already, good for you. Because that's a big fucking letdown. And that shouldn't have happened.
Where did she plan her wedding? I mean, do you think we'd all be able to go if you had your wedding in Thailand, Scout?
No. No, I don't. But I don't think I would have...
agreed and then pulled out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's something. Like, if you're going to agree to something, like, ooh, do yeah. not fucking back out.
That's right.
Like just, show up. Just don't. Or communicate with me what is happening and what is going on. You know, if there's no communication and I don't have an understanding... Also, like, funds and stuff, like, I don't know. That's family. I feel like you got to fucking figure it out. Your yeah. family. You got to figure that shit out. Your sister?
Yeah. I know.
Are you kidding me?
I know.
I don't know.
Something more. Write to us, Brianna, and see. Maybe there's something more to yeah. what the dynamic of between the two. It sounds like there's something more than the fact that it's financial. And maybe yeah. that's what you've got to get to the root of and yeah. see what's going on there. Because if you were all good with your sisters, actually, they would do everything they could. They, mm-hmm. I mean, I beg, borrow, and steal from, you know, Peter to pay Paul. I sound so old right now, that saying. You probably have no idea what I'm talking about.
I was like, who's Peter? Who's Paul?
Oh my God, I'm so old. How many people are listening right now that has said that saying, steal from Peter to pay Paul, which means people that like go around. No, I'm just fucking old. Okay, do you have another question? So we wish you luck, Brianna, with your wedding.
Also, let's just see. Let's see how Danielle reacts to this, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, no.
Drum roll, please. Okay. Don't get mad.
I feel like I'm on National Lampoon's. Oh God, what are we doing?
Be excited. No. So I think I picked my dress too soon. She's reacting. She's reacting. She's taking it in. So I'm going to try on more dresses
mm-hmm.
to make sure that is the dress that I want.
I'm sure you could sell it. Like, I'm sure the store.
100%. I'm sure the store. Probably not for what I got it for, but whatever. It's fine. This matters. Like, it matters. And it wasn't that expensive.
No, you actually might be able to get what you got for what you paid for it, just because maybe a bride wants, there's turnaround time maybe too long for some brides. You set your heart on something and they're like, it's a 6 month wait. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, you just don't mm-hmm. know.
And I don't know yet. I'm just going to try on other dresses. I'm going to go to more places.
Good.
And I,
as like, you should have in the beginning.
Yeah, I know. I should have listened to you and I didn't, because I thought, like, when I had that feeling, which I really didn't have, like, the feeling. I just had, like, oh yeah, this is a nice dress. But I feel like I might want something a little bit more shaping.
Yeah.
And not yes. so... Yeah, not so poofy.
Poofy, yeah.
Yeah, and I also think it was also my insecurities with, like, my weight and getting in shape. And I feel like, you know, the goal that I'm going to get to by the wedding, I'm going to be fine being in something slim fitting.
You're fine now being in something thin slitting.
Thank you. Thin, see, we all need pep talks.
I can't even speak. Thin fitting. Slim fitting.
Slim fitting.
Oh my God.
Thank you. But I think I want something a little bit more like lacy and like bedazzled. I don't know. I just like want to have fun with it. I didn't know.
What you
I
need
didn't
to do
know.
Is
I thought I was
going to
be a simple bride, but I'm not a simple bride.
You're not. And you're not a simple person. And you need to try on all kinds of stuff to see what feels right. And it's probably, most brides will tell you, it's not usually what you think you're going to want.
Yes.
You've watched Say Yes to the Dress enough to know it's like never what they go in. Sometimes it's like, this is my dream dress I've had one for 5 years, and you go yeah. in and you do it. And other times you're like, okay, that would probably look crazy on me, but I'll try it on. And you try it on, you're like, wow, I kind of love it. Now I didn't yeah. realize that I would want this.
So I'm going to try on the weekend of August 19th. I don't know if you're in town mm. or want to come in town or have a con.
Let me see.
But totally okay if you do.
Let me see.
But I've also texted Chrissy, because since she is from Los Angeles and she is my bridesmaid.
I am going to be at a Snoop Dogg concert.
Oh, that's your Snoop Dogg concert. Yes. Hell yeah. Oh my God, I love it. I love it. That's amazing. Okay, I will just send you photos.
Okay. Do you have a question?
I didn't read this, so here we go. Question for the pod. Hello, Danielle and Scout. I would like some advice. My ex destroyed me. I would have performance issues in the bed, and if I was unable to finish or maintain an erection, she would lock herself in the bathroom, cry, and break up with me, and then come out and pretend like everything was fine. On top of calling me stupid and pathetic, accusing me of cheating, it turned out she was on 3 different dating apps and would talk to me about the girl she was talking to. I'm only 30, but I feel utterly destroyed. I'm lacking any and all confidence and feel very close to giving up altogether. Is there anything I can do to get my confidence back, please? And thank you. What the fuck?
He said erection, so, but she was online talking to girls.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Don't let this woman that has her own issues
to figure out
destroy your fucking confidence, because do not waste any ounce of your confidence or any ounce of like negative shit that you want to think about yourself on that fucking human being, because she does not.
She sounds crazy. She sounds fucking crazy.
That is awful.
See you.
You dodged a fucking bullet.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry if you don't get a fucking erection. It's her fault. Fucking okay. Yeah, it's her fault.
Tell her it's her fault. If she'd have done it better next time, hopefully there's not a next time with this guy. But yeah, I'd be like, fuck you. I mean, I can't even imagine. Even when like. I don't know how some women do that. How some people, I'm not going to generalize women, but how some people could take out their frustrations or their insecurities on their partner in the bedroom. I mean, like, I guess she's trying to like hit him where it hurts. I don't know what her deal is.
She has sex issues. She obviously has sex issues and commitment issues. And so you dodge the fucking bullet, because that's a piece of trash. So
the first time someone locks themselves in a bathroom and is like threatening to break up, like that's the big old red flag. I would have never talked to her again.
Well, I had an issue with locking myself in the bathroom. But I remembered it was before I went through SLA and I would, after any fight or whatever, whenever I couldn't handle anything, I would lock myself in the bathroom. And then my dad told me that my mother would lock us into the bathroom.
Oh, shit.
For days.
Oh, God.
And so I didn't remember that. And I was like, oh, my God. Is that why I did that? Right. And I remember, like, my first relationship, you know, that was, like, crazy that I did that. And, you know, I remember, like, I had to really work on that with a therapist. I was, like, I was so confused as to why I ran to just, like, shut myself out and, like, but I also wasn't on fucking 3 dating apps and like fucking going, you suck. Like I wasn't like that person. I was just like, I think it was because what I was used to or what I remember as a kid. So it was kind of like an aha moment. I was like, oh my God, that's why I did that.
I only remember crazy. One time.
But yeah, that is
my,
a red flag.
In my marriage where I locked myself in the closet and was hysterical in the closet. Mm. And but I remember it was fucked up because I was doing it loud enough where I knew that David could hear me from like upstairs.
Yeah.
Because I just wanted the attention.
I'd already gone there
and I was so hurt by whatever our argument had been. I think it actually was before we were married, is when we were in the process of wedding planning. Because I remember being like, I don't know if I can get married. I don't know if I could do this, because I just fucking freaked out. And it was fucking wedding planning. Actually, I think it was when I came back from, I did See No Evil 2. We were engaged in See No Evil 2 in Canada. And then in over the holidays, like November time, we were getting married in January. And the Saska sisters came and stayed at my house when they were doing editing on the movie, because they wanted to be part of that. So they stayed with me. So I was like, David was like helping entertain them. And then they were staying at the editing was taking longer. They were there for a couple of weeks. And then I was trying to plan stuff and there was all these moving parts going on. And I think he just short circuited and we got into a massive fight and I locked myself in the closet wanting attention. Every girl does it at one point. How many of you have locked yourselves in the closet at some point or done something for attention from your partner that has hurt you?
What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all-new installment of the horror anthology, now streaming only on Prime Video. The series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with a city on edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorindi returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Dawn Reeve, who has been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken, to find the South Side Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, the Scare features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, the Scare, on Prime Video, now streaming.
Everybody. Nice. Scott's like, I just put my cloudy glasses on.
What do you mean? Attention. Yeah, that she just wanted fucking attention.
Dude, I was watching Dateline last night. It was a 2-part episode, and I had to go to sleep because I just couldn't stay awake, and I really need to not watch this stuff late at night. And actually, maybe it was 2020. Quiñones, with Quiñones. And it was this guy who was married for like 17 years or something. And then he was having an affair with a woman that he worked with at school. And his wife found out about it and he denied it, but she knew. And he said it was like ending or done or whatever. But they couldn't work it out. So he or she had filed for divorce, but she made the decision to still stay living with him. And at some point, like, he started finding like recording devices in all of his like coats and stuff, like his jacket, like his suit coats, and under his car was a tracker, under the girlfriend's car or the mistress's car was a tracker. Like, she had like gotten all his passwords for everything and was reading all of his, like, everything. That she basically was spying on him for months before she found out about it. And then when she found out and denied, she continued to like basically, like, he would go out, have these conversations with her on the phone in the car or whatever, and she would record everything in the recorder. And then when he would be home at night, she would take his suit that he took off and she'd take it out, download all the audio, and put it back in and physically sew it back
up. Who the fuck can think about doing this?
Isn't, like, that crazy?
That is.
Well, they had no kids.
I mean,
kids.
I know
they
about snooping. I know about, like, fucking looking up the fucking Instagram.
Oh, hell,
fucking,
yeah.
Like, all that shit. But, like, I can imagine putting like a device on Tom.
Yeah, a tracking device. And she put it on the girlfriend's car so she would see. Ooh. Like, she'd call him to be like, you know, wanted to know like where he is, whatever, and she
Too
would know
work.
That they were together at that time. And it's
was
like
his
it's
dick that good, like, I don't
dude
understand.
It's crazy. But she apparently it was because he was like the love of her life, and they did end up filing for divorce. She's like, let's stay in the house. And she wanted to pretend that everything was okay. So they would have dinners together. They would have drinks. They literally lived like they would go on dates. They'd have all these times. She's like, I know we're getting divorced, but you haven't moved, gotten your new job yet. Like, let's just basically pretend that everything is okay. And he is so stupid. He thought, oh, isn't this amazing that it could be this way? Like, we could still be friends while I have my cake and eat it too. Like, I won't be losing my wife even if I get divorced, but she wants to be in my life and I could hang out and have dinner with her and then I can go fuck my mistress. And
so what happened?
She bought a gun and she went over. She texted him. She's supposed to meet him for dinner. And she texted him goodbye, Sean, or whatever his name was. And she was already in the girlfriend's house. And she fucking shot. She killed the girlfriend. And then she killed herself. Yeah.
Interesting that she went for the girlfriend.
She messaged him something like, I hope you never find happiness again.
Ooh, my God. Crazy.
Yeah. And then goodbye. But it happened in 2 seconds. But she bought the gun like 4 or 5 weeks before she actually did this. So she bought the gun. Oof. She planned. She had been staking out her house on like how to get in, how to break in. Like she had done all of this stuff, had basically been living a whole separate double life for months while she was pretending everything was going to be okay. And they were just going to move forward with their friendship and he could have her. And, you know, she's just going to let it go. Like he would have to hear her bitch and moan and complain about what he did to her. You ruined my life. And, but I know, you know, whatever, like you trade me in for a younger model and blah, 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 but they still live together. And then, but I can't believe that. Like, so he's now left. I mean, I get it. He's left to feel that for the rest of his life. Like, she did the ultimate punishment.
Crazy.
It's like, if she took him out, then he wouldn't be paying the price for it.
Yeah.
He would be off in heaven or hell or wherever you think
you'd
go.
I wonder, did the girl know that
yes,
he was married?
Yes, she was also married.
Oh, shit. Oh, man. Well, fuck, I hope that girl didn't have kids or anything.
She didn't. There were no kids in the picture.
You know, I think about this, you know, all of us have encountered a killer at some point.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Do you think so, really?
Oh, 100%. Or someone that is planning something, someone that is thinking about doing something. Like, we have all encountered that.
Maybe more than anybody, because we meet so many people at like,
I don't know, man. There's no way. There are so many. I don't know. Maybe, but maybe. I mean, fuck. I know, like.
I mean, we get a lot of those
messages. One person that was a killer, and then I like
right.
worked with another person that was a killer, and like, I don't know.
I feel like you guys write to, we've gotten a couple of those letters from people writing in saying that they, you know, I remember one guy said like, oh, he shared like right above him in an apartment was this killer, mm-hmm. this serial killer that did this, you know, and he would bum cigarettes from him. And I don't remember what that story was, but I'm sure that we've come across, or people have come across, oh, that guy lived right there or she lived next door to me. And she, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, look at fucking Dahmer. It's like, I mean, who knows? I don't know. That freaks me out to think that.
I know. It's so weird because, like, I mean, maybe we're just not so observant of, like, other people's shit. Like, we're just so into our own little world. Like, I'm like, is there, like, signs that, like even, like, Johnny that we talked about, like, in the very, very beginning, and I dated him. And I knew that Johnny was off. Did I think that he could have, like, killed someone? Like, no. But, like, I'm just like, but was I not paying enough attention? I mean,
this is Johnny from Sons of Anarchy, right?
Yeah, obviously, yeah. I didn't go on another date with him because I felt uncomfortable.
Something wasn't right.
But like, I didn't feel like he could fucking kill me.
Yeah,
you know, it's just so weird. It's just,
I mean, you know, there's. It's like I think about, you know, like my two best guy friends that committed suicide, and mm-hmm. I have and had. More than any other friendships, had distanced myself numerous times and had big arguments or giant blow ups and get back togethers in those two relationships for decades. It was very volatile and mm-hmm. intense. And, you know, I knew that like something just didn't feel right at times, and I didn't know what it was, but I had to like, well, yeah, I mean, listen, I pulled back away from both of them, and then, you know, fucking Adam killed himself and blames me for it. And it's like, I just knew something was not, there's that feeling in your gut and you try to like overlook it. Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm not getting the little picture. Maybe it's the other, like I have to sit and think about whether or not my feelings are correct or if it's just something that it's a button for me about, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't know if it's my heart or my head sometimes, but
tough.
I mean, you have to listen to yourself. And yeah, pull that plug if need be.
I think we all need to listen to our gut a little bit more, especially when it comes to relationships.
Are you outlining your lips bigger than your lip line? No. Lips look like you've tried that.
Why does everybody think that my lips are like huge?
They look big.
I haven't got my lips done. Hi, everybody. Hi, everybody. I haven't got my lips done. I got my lips done like a long time ago and they were like lopsided. And
oh,
I was like,
God.
Never again.
Never again. Yeah.
No, but I am using like a darker
liner. Okay. That's what it is. Cause it looks like you just have darker liner on. But I also can barely see out of my new glasses, so
yeah, don't mind me. Well, I've actually never used a pencil to line my lips before until I started doing it recently.
Nice. Do they look good? Or maybe that's why they look bigger.
Do they look good?
And you still have your nails done from the wedding, from your bachelorette party?
No, these are new ones.
Just the same? Just the same pretty lines?
Yeah, same. Well, no, those were flames.
Oh.
These ones are like, you know, I'm testing out nails. Wait till you fucking see my Burning Man nails. Oh, those are gonna look so good. Well, we're so everybody, stupid. We will see you in Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City?
Well, we'll see you.
Well, after. This is gonna come out after Oklahoma City. I hope it goes well. Hi, everybody that came to Oklahoma City.
Hi, everybody, hope you had a great time meeting us. We love you and thank you for learning with us because we are learning what we can and cannot do right now. So thank you so much.
Awesome. God. All right, girl. All right. I'll see you in a couple days.
Yes. Happy Tuesday, everybody.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. Bye.